Things are a little different. You have in your bulletin a wonderfully ornate outline. It will be in your bulletin next week. So pray with me. Father God, we're going to spend a little time together today talking about something very important. And we ask for wisdom and guidance in your word and in your scripture. And thank you for your grace and your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Now I'm going to start off with where we are today, that it's being Mother's Day. And scripture gives us some very specific things to do. Not a lot, but some very specific ones. In one of the, you know, one of the Ten Commandments is honor your father and your mother. And in fact, it is. And when Paul repeats this in Ephesians, he says, in Ephesians, honor your father and mother. And this is the first commandment with a promise. So it literally says, if you honor your father and your mother, you will live a long time. Basically, is the promise. It's, you know, biblically worded, but it basically says, if you honor your mom and your dad, you will live a long life. Well, that's a pretty powerful promise. So it raised a question to me, and so I'm gonna ask some questions. Hopefully, you'll give me some feedback. Some of the questions may be a little tougher than others, because I want to ask number one a question that applies to some of us. How many of you here today are like Joanne was said, your moms are in heaven? Okay. How many of you still have your moms here? Okay, very good. See, good balance. That's about right. Okay. Now let me ask another question. For most of you, I know very little about your mom, and I know about my mom. And when I think of my mom and growing up in my household when I was young, and she was a single mom, trying to raise two kids as a waitress in Columbus, Ohio, I know that what that meant for me was living in government housing projects in the slums, sharing a small two-bedroom apartment with another single mom with two kids. It meant spending the summers at my grandparents' house because she literally could not afford to keep us when the school wasn't in. And all that. And when I think of some of the things that went on, you know, it reminded me of the first line of that great novel. It was the best of times, and it was the worst of times, you know. And Mom had a lot of stress, and that came out on us in a lot of ways. And so there's good, really good stuff that I remember and some really bad stuff I remember, you know. And that's, you know, that's about normally how it is. But let me ask a question, because I don't know how your mom was, or how your mom is, or how she was. But if you could express, if you could put into words this idea, what is the best thing about her? Best characteristic that she had? What would that be? Now, you know, granted, there may be a lot of negative, there may be a lot of positive, but a lot of stuff, but what would be the one... You could say, if you could break it down to one thing, what would be the best thing about her? Very loving. Very loving. Very good. Okay. Okay, being patient. Okay. Steel determination. How about that? Steel determination. How many of you had moms that had this ironclad steel determination? Oh, same thing? Your mom's same thing. Okay. Yes. Common sense. Very good. Very good. That's a good one. Right? Yeah. Gift giving. Okay. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Unconditional love. See, there's a lot of, if you think of all the things you've said, and I know there's many other things that you can say, but you capture an essence of somebody sometimes in those things, you know. And I know for my mom, it was a big change. It was a change from when I was growing up and the stress of growing up and being a single mom and all the stuff, some of the good stuff and some of the really bad stuff that came out of that. And then when she married my dad, my stepdad, and how things changed. And then when I started going to church in 1966, I was 14 years old, started going to church, and I had a, you know, I don't know why you went to church. I started going to church because of a girl. There's a girl in the junior high that our high school that I liked, and I was really too young to date, but we were talking at school, and she said, "Well, I sing. You want to come hear me sing?" And I said, "Sure." And so she sang at an Easter sunrise service. I started going. So my first time in church, you know, just to go for me was Easter of 1966, and I started going and kept going and kept going. 3 months later, her family had moved out of the area, and I was still in church, and it just goes on from there. And so my sister started going with me, then my parents started going with me. When my parents started going, and they truly came to the Lord, things changed again, and it changed. And when I think of her, I think sometimes from that point in her life, her life was summed up in something she said to me, said to us, to my sister and I. I don't remember if Kathy was there or not, but she was, she had fought pneumonia over and over again. She went to the hospital with pneumonia. And then as the pneumonia cleared up, they discovered the tumor that was grabbed both the lungs and around the esophagus from a lifetime of smoking. So we were over at Henry Mayo, and she took us out into the little courtyard there in the middle of the hospital, and you could still go out there and smoke. So she could take us out there, lights up, and basically told us what they had discovered. And what she said was something along the lines of, "Taught you how to live best I could. Now I get to teach you how to die." So we all have things that we remember. The scripture says that we are to honor our mothers and our fathers. Well, in fact, the scripture says that we are to honor God. The scripture says that we are to honor one another above ourselves. The scripture says that we are to honor our leaders. It uses the word honor a lot. And the question is, how do we do that? How do we do it? I saw a little post this morning, and it said, a little cartoon picture, and it says that hopefully this mediocre brunch today will make up for 364 days of being bad kids. And we want to honor our mothers, Sherry brought roses and I had carnations. We want to honor you. But, okay, is that what the scripture is talking about? Is the scripture talking about taking one day a year and saying thank you and appreciating and loving? Is that honor, or is that just saying thank you, and I love you, and I appreciate you? How do we honor? I shared at Easter time, on Easter Sunday, that between last Easter and this Easter, I had done 48 funerals. And probably about 15 to 18 of them were veterans. And most of the ones that were, I had a couple of veterans from the 50s and 60s, but most of the ones were veterans from World War II and from the Korean War. Some of them were true heroes. And at the end of the service, the military was there. And couple times there were Marines, a couple times there were Air Force, a couple times there were Navy. It was a pretty even spread. And when we finished the service out at the graveside, and I would say the final prayer, these guys would immaculately uniformed march up. Sometimes one of them would talk. Many times nobody said anything. And they would go through the process of taking the flag off the casket, holding the flag up. And sometimes right then a bugler would play taps. Sometimes he would play taps when they were all done. But they would present the flag. Then they would ceremoniously fold the flag and very beautifully fold it and crease it and then give it to the officer or the person in charge, and he would kneel down on one knee to whoever the recipient was going to be and present the flag in honor of their loved one. And the thing about that was that always struck me is the military came to honor one of their own. And it didn't matter if it was Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines. They were honoring one of their brothers or sisters. And you know what they did? They didn't just show up. They did something. They did something dynamic. And they did something moving. They did something powerful. And what I want to suggest to you this morning is a little bit about Mother's Day. A little bit about how we honor our mothers and how we honor our fathers. But more about just the concept of honor. I believe, learned many years ago, tried to instill this in our kids, that honor is the foundation of all relationships. And that we were, no matter what happened, no matter how bad the situation was or how good the situation was, we were to treat each other with honor. And, you know, my boys will tell you that they did some things that freaked us out. But I would venture to say that if you pinned them down, the times when I was literally had them by the shirt, up against the wall, in their face, it was an issue of honor. They had treated mom or me or someone dishonorably. So honor is a big deal, isn't it? It's more than just a day. It has to do with who we are. It has to do with incorporating an idea and a concept. And it's obviously all through the Scripture. All through the Scripture. This idea of honor. Honoring God. Honoring each other. Honoring our parents. Honoring, you know, those in charge of us. Those are our leaders in the church. Honoring our country. Honoring our country's leaders. And it's repeated over and over again. So it's a big deal in the Scripture. So how do we do that? And I want to present a concept that how you honor a person, a country, how you honor God, how you honor Jesus, how you honor your mom has to do with incorporating, duplicating, and enacting a value. It has to be incorporated. We went around the room and said, what was the best thing? And you think of it, to hear of all of those things that you said about your mom. All of those things. That is, you know, and what you said and just saying them acknowledged her and thanked her, and you did something, and that was good. And that's a little bit. You touched on honor. You touched on it. But if you really want to take that further, you really want it to be something of honor, you incorporate it. You incorporate it. Several of you said your moms were loving.
had unconditional love. So if you want to honor her, how's your love doing? Are you loving? Do you have unconditional love? You see? See how that works? You have to incorporate it. And so you, in the process of raising children is just that, giving them values and demonstrating those values and living those values out so they can incorporate them. We are one generation away from barbarism. Okay? We're one generation away from civilization being destroyed, and we take these little people that know nothing and have to turn them into civilized human beings. And that is an issue of incorporating in them our values. And you know that's happened when they grow up. You don't know it until they grow up. They can be obedient while they're... But honor and obedience aren't the same thing. It has to be an incorporation thing. It has to be that point where you can have somebody in your home that you teach and you grow up and you say, don't do that, don't do that, don't do that, because I'm telling you, you do that, you're going to get in trouble. You know? And you know, how many of you have had somebody, a parent tell you that? You know, don't do that or you're going to get in trouble. How many of you did it and got in trouble? Okay, you know, there's consequences, right? Truth or consequences, that happened. And that did happen. But when you incorporate that truth, when you incorporate it, when you're grown, and you have to make that decision, you make that decision not because mom's going to be mad or dad's going to be mad or I'm going to pay a price. You can be out on your own, and they can be gone in heaven, but you're going to make that decision because you have incorporated and made it your own. It's now not their value, it's your value. Whether that's something as great and basic morality or something as simple as being punctual. I mean, I will use that as an example. You know, my dad was one who ingrained it from the moment that they got married, because mom was one of those that was, she'll be ready in 5 minutes. And 5 minutes can mean 5 minutes to 2 hours, you know. And my dad ingrained in us that if you're not 15 minutes early, you're late. You know, so I just ingrained in the idea. And Kathy and I had to deal with that. We got married. We started having kids. I'm going to be here. I need to be here on Sunday morning. And you know, to this day, there's four of us to come in four vehicles. Because I'm here way early. You know, if I'm not early, I'm late. That gets incorporated. I'm not doing that because my dad would be upset with me. No. You see, then that's a simple example of it. It has to be incorporated. It has to be incorporated. It has to be duplicated. It has to become something ingrained in you. It has to be something that's automatic. And it has to be something that is enacted. It's lived out. So we take today and we look at our moms and we go around the room, we share great things about our moms, and it's like, okay, I want to honor my mom. It's okay, what does that mean? Well, what do you remember? What is the best thing? How you incorporate that into who you are and duplicate that in yourself and duplicate that in your children and pass that on so that you live that out. We get this? We got that? The scripture says that we're to honor God and we're to honor Jesus Christ. That once we become a Christian, we enter in a covenant with God, that when we come to the Lord and ask Him into our lives and are baptized and share His death, burial, and resurrection, we literally sign a covenant written in His blood saying, accepting the fact that He has died for us to give us new life and forgive us and give us heaven, and we agree to live for Him and be faithful and true and do everything we can to honor Him in how we live. See, the biggest issue in our lives really isn't, are we honoring Mom? Or are we honoring Dad? Or are we honoring Grandpa? The biggest issue in our lives is, are we honoring God?
Are we taking what He gives us and showed us so clearly and distinctly in Jesus Christ? See, that's the idea. Because I want you to see the Bible a little differently. When, some of you have little kids, right? When you have little ones, there's not a whole lot of explanation, is there? There is, you don't do that. You know, you tell them don't reach for the stove, it's hot, they reach for the stove, you slap their little hand. I mean, you better. You're one of those parents, well, I want him to experience it for himself. You know. You're throwing your kid to the wolves, you know. There's rules, and here they are. You don't do this. You don't, and they learn. You have to learn. There's rules. You don't do this, and there are consequences for your actions, and you teach them, and you don't do it, you know. And what is that famous line? Why? Because I said so, right? Sometimes it's just that they have to learn, and sometimes they're basic, and they have to learn because I said so. So when you read the Old Testament, and you read the Ten Commandments, and the Old Testament law, God is dealing with the children of Israel. And you know what it is? Here are the rules. You do what I say because I said so and because there's consequences. They're called the children of Israel. But I want you to understand something. That when Jesus died on the cross and rose again to give us life, and we become His family when we come to Him in faith, it literally says we become like His adopted brothers and sisters. We come into this as adults. That's why in the New Testament there's not a list of, here's the rules, do what you say, do what I say. There's a list of values that you incorporate. That being a Christian is no longer about having a set of rules that you have to do because there's going to be consequences. Being a Christian is following and loving God and honoring Him and taking the values that He presents to us clearly in Jesus and making them part of who we are. I'm no longer going to do what I do because I think God is going to get upset with me, and He's standing there going, okay, mess up, mess up, mess up, I'm waiting, mess up. But some people think that. Some people think that God is just waiting up there. He's got that little piano on a string just following us around, you know, waiting to drop the piano on our heads the moment we mess up. That's not the way God is. You know, I like the way that Mark Gunger said it in the seminar, that a lot of people think that, you know, God has forgiven us, and but He still sort of, you know, has that sense that we're sinners. You know, He's looking at us going, you know, something about you just ticks me off. I don't know what it is. You know, we think that's how God sees us. Not how He sees us at all. He sees us as His adult children. Now, my mom used to tell me something when I was growing up. And I would look at her like she was nuts. She would say, you never worry about your kids until they're grown. And I thought that was crazy. But when your kids are grown, and they're making their decision, not because you say this is the rule and this is what they've got to do, but because it's their internal values, and there's nothing you can do about the consequences of their actions, because it's them, it's their values, it's their what they decide, whether they're going to be good people or not be good people, whether they're going to be moral or not moral, whether they're going to be righteous or unrighteous, it's their choice. And you have no say. You have no control over it. I think Mom was right. And that can drive you crazy without an issue of trust and of love. Now, every one of my kids is messed up. Has messed up. I didn't say is messed up. Don't keep going on going, yeah, Pastor's kids are really messed up. Every one of mine has messed up. And they will again. Three of them are really strong, are believers. And I think my daughter is. I think our daughter is. We're a little sketchy there at times. It's a burden that we carry. But you know what? there for them anymore. They have to have incorporated. So I have to trust them. I want you to know God loves you so much. Now usually we start that sentence, it says, God loves you so much that he gave his only begotten son that whoever believed in him would not perish but have eternal life. You know, John 3:16. Great verse, learn the verse. I want you to know something else. God loves you so much as his child, as his adult child, that he has entrusted you with his word. He has entrusted you with his Holy Spirit to live inside of you. And he trusts you today and tomorrow and next week. He trusts you in the best of times, and he trusts you in the worst of times to make the right decision. And that's why it says in 1 John 3:7, little children, do not be deceived. He who does what is right is righteous. See, he trusts you to make the right decision. You incorporate him. You incorporate his spirit. You incorporate his word. You don't do what you do because it's cold obedience, because, you know, think God's going to whop you over the head if you do something wrong. Not that there aren't consequences to your actions. I mean, you speed, you get a ticket. That's not the officer's fault. You do things wrong, there's consequences. We're not talking about that. But God trusts you to make the right decision. He trusts you with his morality. In fact, he trusts you with his reputation. We were studying on Wednesday night in the Bible study. We're going through the life of Jesus. We're sort of going for a walk with Jesus through his life and just going day by day as it's presented in the scripture. And there was a time in the scripture when he was invited to, right before his death, he was invited into somebody's house for dinner. And it was a Pharisee, and he was one of these guys that they were really sort of Jesus' enemies. And they had invited him in. And in their homes, it was set up a little differently. They didn't have a dining room, per se. It was a courtyard. They would come into the gate, and there was an open courtyard, and then there was a building, and bedrooms and kitchens were all back here. But many times, if the weather was right, they ate everything out in the courtyard. And if you were wealthy, you had a big compound with a big courtyard. And when the Pharisees and when the people who were in charge of the church, the synagogue at the time, would invite some special person in, they would lay out the dinner in the courtyard. Not tables like we have, but they were actually on Roman couches reclining. They would set the tables up, low tables in a U shape, and the guys were reclining on couches, eating with their right hand. And then they would open the gate, and if they had a special guest, they would open the gate, and anyone in the village could come in and stand around. They wouldn't get to eat, but they could stand around and listen to the conversation and pick up what this guest speaker was saying. And in that passage, it says the Pharisees invited Jesus into this dinner because they were his enemy. They were looking for something to trap him. And it says, and he was being carefully watched. You see, in our culture, particularly today, as our culture and society as a whole moves away from God and from Christ, very deliberately being led away from God and Christ into other things, into everything from hedonism to paganism, if you identify yourself as a Christian, you are going to be carefully watched. And you know how it works. Some guy, wonderful person, wonderful Christian, comes along and somehow he makes a mistake and he messes up. And you know what everybody says? No, I see how those Christians are. It's not you that gets judged, it's all of us. God gets judged. God's reputation is on the line. It's, oh, that's how God is. That's what God wants. It's God's reputation that gets damaged. But God loves you so much, and when you get up today and you walk out that door, and you go wherever you're going to go today, I like what Joanne said. If you're going out to eat, if you haven't made reservations, I hope you have comfy shoes. You're going to be in a long line.
And I'll tell you what, nothing will test a person's character more than waiting in a long line. It'll bring out the best in people, and it'll bring out the worst in people. And you're going to be carefully watched. And how you react to a long line in the heat, how you react to poor service, how you react to good service, how you react, you're not the one being judged. All of us are. Jesus is. See, God loves you so much as an adult who's willing to accept responsibility for who you are and live what you believe and be a person of honor, that He trusts you with His very reputation. Wow. Now that, but we can take something as wonderful as Mother's Day when we honor our moms. If we get the idea of what that really means, finding the best, making it part of who we are, duplicating it and enacting it, reproducing it, and we make it part of how we live. And then we understand that being a Christian is about honoring God and taking what we see in Jesus and duplicating that and honoring that in us and living that out in us. God doesn't ask you to do anything special. He just asks you to be and live what you believe. You believe Jesus is the Lord and you're God and you've got a covenant with Him. He's not asking you to do anything. Most people, He's not asking anything to be special. You know? I don't know that God has asked any of you to become a missionary in some hellhole corner of the world. He's just asking you, wherever you are, to be what you say you are when you say you believe in Jesus. He loves you, and He trusts you with His honor. So today, it's Mother's Day. And whether your mom is here, whether your mom is in heaven, honor her. Remember her. Express gratitude. Express appreciation. Express love. But I'll tell you what. You can express gratitude and appreciation and love. But if you act dishonorably, those things mean nothing. Dishonor robs those things of their value and of their impact. You get to choose. God is asking you to be a person of faith, a person of love, a person maybe like your mom. In fact, the odds are you don't have much choice. Odds are we sort of become our parents. You know, that's okay. You know, the good stuff, that's great. If it's bad stuff, you can change. Jesus is asking you to be a person who honors Him, who honor each other, who honor as a basic rule of life. So today I want to invite you to do that. Just make a decision today. It's a little decision, but it has great impact. But you write that somewhere. Somewhere on the inside of your forehead. Somewhere, you know, in the fly leaf of your Bible. Somewhere where you see it. Somewhere on the mirror in your bathroom. Honor. And then you can fill in the blanks. Honor mom, honor dad, honor your siblings, honor the people around you, honor the people in church, honor God, honor the flag, whatever. But I would urge you today, that one of the most important decisions you can make in your life that will affect you and everyone around you will be a decision to be a person, to be a woman,
of honor, to be a man of honor. In fact, I would say, guys, particularly, you don't have any honor. You know, man. You don't know what being a man is. You might be powerful, and you might be strong, and you might be big, and you might even be successful, but if you don't have honor, those things mean nothing. And God Himself, through Jesus Christ, through His Holy Spirit, and through His written word, is calling you today to be a man or a woman of honor. Father, we thank You. Simple thing to be, yet one that trips us up. Trips us up so much. We get messed up. We think that it's just obeying the rules, and it isn't that. We think it's just saying thank you. It isn't that. It is about duplicating and living out a character. The character and values of Jesus Christ. We just have to duplicate it. You've made it clear. We can read all about Him. We can see what He did, what He said, how He loved. And all You tell us to do, our whole side of our covenant with You, is just try to be like that. That's what honor is. We set this one day aside to honor our moms. And hopefully we can find that in our heart to do that. To really honor them. Find that value in them that we need to be sure is duplicated and replicated and lived out in our lives. But understanding this, the greatest way we can ever honor a mom or a dad, the greatest honor we can give them is living a life that honors You. Bless us.